In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Today, you make a stand, Milo and Chloe. Today, you declare to the church, you declare to the world where you stand. In a few minutes, you will declare that your new life in Christ, given in your baptism, is the center of your life. You will vow that you stand with and in Christ. You will vow that you intend to stand firm in this confession of faith, even to death. And unfortunately, that's when things will start to go south. What you will do is affirm the truth of what happened in your baptism. You will proclaim that you were killed and raised to life again, to new life. That you have the mark of the Holy Cross on your forehead and on your heart, a mark that shows the world that you are Christ, that you are in Christ. But Satan doesn't like it when people do this. Days like today thwart his plans. We heard about that last week. Days like this, days in which the church rejoices, are like splinters under the fingernails to Satan. It drives him mad. And so he redoubles his efforts to lead you astray. The uncomfortable and the unfortunate truth of the church today is that an abysmally low number of those who confess their faith in the rite of confirmation remain steadfast in that faith all their lives. This is because of the war between the old and the new Adam within you. The new Adam, the one who is converted and regenerated by the Holy Spirit in holy baptism, wants to be here, to worship, to receive, to not despise God's word or his preaching. But the old Adam, that original sin within you, it plugs its ears to the word of God and instead listens to the voice of the world, to the voice of the devil, to the voice of your own sinful flesh. And so this is the reality of the life of the Christian. So don't be deluded by those who say that the Christian life is all rainbows and unicorns, that if you just love Jesus enough, it'll be easy. Everything will be okay. Because it won't. Because most days it's like trench warfare. Most days it's bloody noses and bruised feelings. It's disappointment and sorrow. And this is what Satan will try to do in your life now. Just as he does to everyone else here today. Many times you and they will give in to that stranger's voice. You all will be led astray. Suddenly, other things will become vastly more important than hearing the word of life from the resurrected Christ, he who was lifted up on his cross and died that glorious and bloody death in your place for you. Other things will seem to be so much more urgent than gathering with the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, where the holy things are given to the holy ones, where you are fed on your Savior's word and his gifts. You know what those things are that take God's place? They're idols. They are the things that you worship instead of Almighty God, the Father who has created and redeemed you. They are the things that push your relationship with your Savior into the background in favor of more exciting or more interesting or more important things. Don't listen to those voices. Resist those temptations to be led away from your Lord. Instead, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember what your Lord Christ has done for you. That's gospel, right? Some will say, though, that, well, you have to do this or you have to do that to be saved. No, don't listen to those voices, because that's trying to live by the law. Remember this, Jesus died for you, period. Faith in those words alone is what saves you. Faith that was given to you by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that brought faith to the thousands on Pentecost. Faith that is strengthened here in the gifts your Lord freely gives to you. His life-giving word, his faith-sustaining sacrament. This is where you need to be on the Lord's day. Here and nowhere else. This is where your God takes care of you, where he binds your wounds, where he soothes your pains, where he comforts you in your sorrows, where he gives you the medicine of immortality. The body and blood of his Son given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, I'm not going to say that you have to be here every Sunday, because that's not the way of the gospel. But the Christian should want to be where his Lord is, where his Lord is ready to give his gifts of eternal life, of forgiveness, and of salvation. So even though you aren't going to want to get up every Sunday morning and come to church, make it a priority anyway. Remind your parents how important this place is and how important what you receive here is. Make sure that they know that the best way for you to honor your father and your mother is by remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Because here is where you hear the voice of your Lord. Here is where you learn who he is and what he has done for you and what he continues to do for you. Today, St. John records Jesus standing up and crying out on the last and the great day of the Feast of Booths, the day in which living and flowing water is symbolized by the priests pouring hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water through the streets of Jerusalem, beginning at the temple. And your Lord Christ, more properly translated, stands up and cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and let him who believes in me drink. As the scripture says, streams of living water shall flow from his belly." Jesus is the one from whom those streams of living water flow. Jesus is the one to whom you come when you are weary and heavy laden. Jesus is the one who has living water without allocation that quenches every thirst. And so his words recall that stone in the wilderness, the one struck by Moses' staff that gushed water to quench the thirst of the Israelites. Christ Jesus is the one from whom living water streams that gives the Samaritan woman life beyond expectation at Jacob's well. He is the one from whom that living water flows, water that gushes forth in a life-giving fountain when the spear pierces his side as he hangs dead. Your glorious, crucified and resurrected Lord Christ, Almighty God, who took on your flesh to live your life, to carry your burdens, to bear your sin and the sin of the whole world, and then bury it in his tomb forever. This is he who calls out with the words of eternal life. This is he who stands here each and every week and says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. Rest in his word. Rest in his body and blood, the very tangible and physical presence of life everlasting. So hear King David's words and heed them. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." So yes, the world swirls and storms and rages and seethes all around you. Uncertainty lies before you as you turn the page and begin a new phase of your lives. But you know the secret. You already know how not to be carried away by those storms. Remember your baptism. Hear the word of the Lord. Gather at the table of the wedding feast that has no end, where all the company of heaven gathers with you to sing full-throated praise to the glorified one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who died yet lives, the one who bears in his flesh the marks of the crucified one, the one who gives of his own body and blood for food that you may live, the one who sits upon the throne of the Almighty, the one who bears you up and carries you through this broken creation, that you may stand with him on the last day and enter into glory. The new creation, the new Jerusalem, the place prepared for you where waters flow unabated forever and the great feast never ends. Amen.